What's it take you to start praising Him, but what's it take you to stop praising Him? That's the question. Man, I've seen my Christopher and Mooney friends back there. Just a flood of memories. They invited me to a retreat. Remember that? Parkminster Presbyterian. We won't hold it against you, but it was a retreat, man. I remember we stayed up all, that was the first time in my life I stayed up all night long. I don't remember much. I remember I was in love with Maureen Elder. I think she might have went there. She was a little older, didn't want nothing to do with a little fat kid. But a couple years later, I moved over one street from Stewart Drive to Walbert Drive, and I found my high school sweetheart. She's probably over there in the kitchen. Praise the Lord, man. What a blessing. John chapter 9. Lessons from a blind man. Lessons from a blind man. Chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Now, if man wrote this book about God, he'd never put something like this in there. What a book. And made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is the interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore. He washed and washed and came seeing. Father, we thank you again one more time. Pray you'd bless your word to our hearts as you already have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one, radical change and difference brought opportunity for God to work in someone and ultimately get glory. I mean, going from blind to seeing is pretty radical. It's a pretty big change. I mean, going from drinking and dancing and smoking and barring to singing hymns and preaching, that's a pretty radical change. And there's two things that real conversion brings. It brings change and it brings difference. It always did in the Bible anyways. And if you've been saved out of the world, maybe like I was, and you're genuinely converted, there's going to be a change. Don't tell me that God Almighty comes and seals you under the day of redemption inside and dwelling in you, and there's no change. I mean, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the, all that is in the world is not of the Father. So if you're yoking up with the Father, you got to think that there's going to be change from what you used to be in the world. Now, if you were converted early, like many in this room, you didn't get a chance to get the scars like some of us did from sin. And your major when meeting Jesus is not as going to be as much change as it is your difference. Your difference. I wish I had that testimony rather than the change testimony, but nevertheless, it is what it is. Thank God that to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. A young person that's saved under the pew, all you need to realize is how wicked you really are, and you'll be surprised how radical you can get for God. But listen to the passage concerning change and difference. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, you look at that Old Testament priest, they were different. A holy nation. You look at the nation of Israel. God desired them to be different. A peculiar people. And we know that passage around here. But we rarely follow up on the end of it. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Radical change and difference brings opportunity for God to work like he did in this blind man, because God is radically different than this world. And I too many Christians and too many churches today hide that. God does not shy away from radical. He didn't sit and contemplate, oh, gee, you know, I mean, this guy's parents, they're in the synagogue, and he's blind and been begging all these years. I mean, this might want kind of stir things up. I don't want to scare anyone off. You read those Gospels, when Jesus Christ passed by, there was radical change, and it always stirred people up, especially religious people. And you know what the goal is? You know what his goal is? To change you and make you different, and there's a radical change, and you know what that does? It does what it does here, and every other instance when he passed by, it attracts attention to him. You don't have to help him out. You don't have to schmooze it over and be an undercover agent for Jesus. You change, you be different from the world the way Jesus Christ is. You'll have problems, but you'll have blessings too. Amen? Look at verse 8. I like what it says here. Verse 8, the neighbors. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat in bed? The neighbors said. That's why he wants you to be different. You ever been in a dark room sleeping? And out of nowhere, the bright lights come on. What's the first question you ask? Who turned the lights on? You idiot. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing and not fashioning ourselves after the former lusts of our ignorance. And he wants royalty and he wants holiness and he wants peculiarity. You know why? So people might ask, who turns your lights on? That's what they did to him. The neighbors asked. Hey, this is the guy. What a change. What a change. This portion of my sermon today was prepared when one of my son-in-laws in town gave this testimony. I said, I got to take it. He is what we Italians would call a big shot. He is the western half of the United States director of operations in a huge commercial real estate company. And he's been in and out of the families up here, and he's been in and out. He's in Chicago the other night. He's in Chicago with a bunch of these high-rolling real estate tycoons, all right? And they got to talking about their gods, these people he's sitting with. Seagram's, Canadian Mist, Bud Light, Smirnoff. They got to talking about their God. And they turned to him and they say, what do you think about that, Nate? He said, I got no idea what you're talking about. 40, are you 40? 40-year-old man. Head of the western half of this ginormous company. I got no idea what you're talking about. What? I've never tasted alcohol in my life. Come on. You've never drank alcohol? Wasn't this the guy that was blind begging? Come on. There's a Muslim guy sitting at the table, one of the big shots. And they said, one of them said, you don't drink either. And he said, no. And someone else, listen, church. Yes, you did. We were at dinner last week, and you had one of them tequila sun or whatever he had. Well, I didn't want to offend the client. If you don't have a standard, the world does. They're watching. The neighbors are watching, and you can justify all you want, and all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And he became a conversation piece, just like the blind man. Wait, your family's up in Rochester, and you're in Austin, and aren't they in school? Yeah, we homeschool. Homeschool? But aren't they kind of missing school? Yeah, we'll catch up. Well, what about if they want to go to college? Now, he is spiritual and mild-mannered and meek. You would have to be married to a Camilleri girl. What about college? I would have said, well, I got a local church Bible Institute degree, and I'm your boss. So we don't put a whole lot of emphasis on that. But he was Christian. He was Christian. And he said, well, there's avenues for that if we want to do that. And you got how many kids? We have 6. I can't stand my 2. You see what's going on here? Radical attracts attention to the source of your radicalization. Listen. Don't be ashamed of change and difference. That's what God will use. wait. You're 23 years old and you haven't... No. You've never... No. No. Wait a minute. You read the Bible how many times? Well, ever since I could read. Come on. Yeah. Now, if someone said that to me again, I'm not spiritual. I like what Brother Robert said back there. We had a PhD here a few weeks ago. Totally out of their league. I mean, we were out of their league. And our local PhD got to, I said, I want you to go talk to that PhD because you're a PhD and maybe you can get some of your PhDs and Ds and more degrees on a thermometer after your name together and maybe get a little witness. The person was lost. And our in-house PhD doesn't look like a PhD. I don't know what PhDs look like, but we're okay. And he goes up and gets talking to his PhD, and he told me this. I tried. He goes, I really couldn't get a word in edgewise because the PhD was talking about their PhDs and all that. And he said, but I did get something in. And he said this after she learned that he taught at Vanderbilt and the University of Buffalo, and said, you know, he said, books are meant to be conquered. He said, I've read a lot of books. And boy, you read those books and you ingest that book and you conquer that book and you go on to the next one. He goes, but you know, for 20 years now, there's a book I have not been able to conquer. Yeah, buddy. He said, this book right here. He said, try the Bible. Okay. I just said, you mean to tell me you're a PhD and you've not read the book that's the most popular and read book since the beginning of time? You need to get an education. Amen. Radical. Radical. Your birth parents are still married? You know what? It's not hard to be radical today. Don't be ashamed of change. That's what God will use. But he'll make I'll be a spectacle. Amen. A spectacle that reflects the light to Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. You've never swore? Well, not out loud. Why aren't you nervous? How do you cope? The neighbor said, who turned your lights on? And that blind man told him who flipped his switch. Radical change and difference brings opportunity for God to work and ultimately get the glory. Now, we can learn some things from this blind man. Now, you know this is a type of salvation. Types always break down somewhere, especially with this guy, because he didn't believe till the end of the story. Figure that one out. So much for you just don't have enough faith. He can see and he doesn't even know who Jesus is. But he gets to that. But let's see what we can get. Look what he says here. In verse 6, he makes clay of the spittle, anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I just like to make a simple point that the Bible is very clear. God has his part and man has his part. And there's two errors of ditch. There's two ditches of error in every false teaching. One of them says, go, God does it all. You don't do nothing. You love me, you don't. You love me, you don't. Now, I'm not going to argue about that. I will love you, but I'm going to say this. If you are a rebel, just a God-rejecting rebel that is in a home that believes God does it all, I got a nice out for you. Just tell your parents, sorry, I'm not one of the ones he picked. Right? There's one edge. The other edge, you got to do it all, man. You got to work, 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 work. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to can't eat meat on this. And what can you know? You can't know nothing. You know where the Bible usually is? Right down the middle. Right down the middle. You know what? Jesus paid it all. Jesus purchased the gift. Ours is simply to receive the gift. Doesn't that just make sense? He said, go wash. And you know what he did? Our next point? He just did what Jesus said. Doing what Jesus says always works best. Go Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He didn't say a word. It says, and he went. And I'm thinking, the guy probably thought, what do I have to lose? I'm blind. I'm broken. I'm sick. I'm lost. I'm lonely. I'm a mess. No one else has helped me out. Religion sure hasn't. You know, there's another story like this in the Old Testament. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Same kind of story. 2 Kings chapter 5. Same ending, but it didn't go so smooth. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Look at this. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. What a great picture of sin. Sure is in the New Testament. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And when the king of Syria said, go, to go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? This man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had, those prophets are always butting in, rent his clothes, he sent to the king and said, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, big ta-da, you know, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah doesn't even answer the door. Hey, go see who it is. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Sounds just like that John chapter 9. Go and wash.
But Naaman was wroth.
And went away and said, behold, well, here's your first trouble, I thought. Stop thinking and start believing. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy hand. Now watch, he will surely come out to me. I thought he'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. No, salvation not that difficult. Watch this. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Isn't that what you get so many times when you tell people the simple, Jesus is the way? Wow. What makes you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? That's a pretty good reason right there. Well, what about the Duggars and Bill Gothard? What about them? What about Jimmy Swaggart and the televangelist scandal? I didn't see one New England Patriot fan dump the Patriots when the owner got caught in a sex sting. You just said, well, I'll have nothing. Well, they're all hypocrites. Well, so are you in your inconsistencies. Just do it God's way. Just one guy, I refuse. What about the heathen in Africa? What about the people that never heard? Listen, you're a mess. You're blind. You're a leper. You're lost. You're lonely. You got issues. He's got help. People need help, but they want to define the terms that will help them. If you could had enough sense to define the terms, you wouldn't need help. But I know a helper. Radical change brings opportunity for God to work. God has his part, man has his part. Doing it God's way is the way to go. Now watch the progression of this blind man. Look at verse, back to John 9. I got to get to those beans and greens back there. John chapter 9. Verse, they were asking him, how'd your eyes get open? How did this happen? He answered verse 11 and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said the most amazing thing, I don't know. What's the doctrines of the three heavens, the first by sight, the second by night, the third by faith? Do you know these? No, I don't know. Well, you know, Jesus wasn't God. I don't know. He didn't know nothing. He said, it's this man. But the fact that he could see was enough not to shy away from what he didn't know. He told what he did know. What? I can see. I heard a guy say one time, if you don't believe in it, now listen, you know I'm deity of Christ, I'm Trinity, fundamentals, okay. We were witnessing one time and down in the city, Brother Jay, I think it was Brother Gressy, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is God, you can't be saved. I said, uh-oh, because I didn't. You didn't know what you know now about this Bible when you got saved. All you know, I can see now. And those neighbors looked and said, we got to get this guy to Father O'Toole. So they bring him to the religious people. Now watch, verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Radical conversion brings division. If you go public with your conversion. Listen, you are not going to please everyone. The modern digressive church is sought to please everyone but God. And you're ending up with a bunch of people that are walking around thinking they're going to heaven and they're going to hell, or they're living that there's no difference. There's no light. And you know what's going to happen? If you go radical, religious people are going to challenge you. And I don't care if their religion is Islam, Catholicism, evolution, or humanism. You know what the guy did? He simply told what he knew. I can see. But the PhD knows so much more than me. I'm intimidated. They don't know God more than you. Don't be scared. You got something they don't have. You got something education can't give. Light for the journey. Look at verse 17. Watch the progression. Remember he called him a man? They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Oh, that's a little better than just a man. He's learning. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah, five chapters, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And then he says, behold, I saw the Lord lifted up high, and a train filled the temple. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And then said I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. And the next thing he's saying, I'll go. He's growing. I wonder, is Jesus just a man to you? Or is he the next step up, a prophet to you? Radical change brings opportunity for God to work. God has his part, man has his part. Doing it his way is the best way. He wasn't afraid to tell anybody what happened to him in spite of the cost. Now look at verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. There's only one reason not to take your faith public. Fear. I can't think of another one. If you can think of another one, tell God, because I don't believe you. If you go public and you get radical, you are going to lose friends. You're not going to have to leave them. They will leave you. And that's friends at school. That's friends at work. That's friends in the neighborhood. It might even be friends at church. He brought a division. These people say, you're not going to be part of our club if you confess this Jesus. But you know what I say? It's a small price to pay to receive sight. After all he went through for us, and we can't stand a little rolling of the eyes, you can learn something from a blind man, can't you? Wasn't afraid to tell anyone. I'll tell the priest. Listen, I've told people way smarter than me, which isn't hard. Most are. But I had something they didn't have. I was on the corner one time out there with a banner, and it was just this atheist group, and I don't know, I can't remember it now, it slips me. I was by myself out there, and it just said, tired of it, Jesus is your answer, something like that, a scripture pack. And this guy came up and he says, I'm with the such and such club, and I had just learned, I think Brother Hance had just told me about this group, and they write these atheistic articles and da da da. And so he says, you believe that Bible? Mm-hmm. He said, you believe that God in the Old Testament that went in and destroyed women and children and... Uh-huh. You really believe that's the God you serve? I said, yeah. And just about that time, I got a little thought. And I said, listen, there's two things I don't understand. I said, number one is what he let his son go through for me. And when I can understand why he let Jesus die for my sins and your sins, I don't know if you do it with your son, but I wouldn't do it for you, and I don't think your son, you'd let your son do it for me. But when I can figure that, I'll probably be able to figure that other thing out. And here's one more thought. He said, what's that? He took my name and took the picture. I said, make sure you get the banner. I said, one more thought. I said, have you ever read the last book in the Bible? He said, no. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. Take no thought what you shall speak. If you can see, speak up. Which brings me to my next point. He went public because it's only natural for blind people to tell someone they can see. You imagine being born blind, working with a guy on the job for 20 years, and you get talking one day, and the subject, oh, yeah, I was born blind. What? Yeah, I was born blind. I was miraculous. You're kidding me. Why did you never tell me? It's natural to tell people if you are blind and you can see. If you don't believe it, go on YouTube and just people who received their sight. You think they said, well, we didn't want to tell anybody. We had to tell our story. I can see. I don't care that you can see. I don't care that you don't care that I can see. I can see. And if you'll humble down a little bit, I can help you see too. That's what Brother Jay did for me. Mark, see that bald guy right there? That's my father in the Lord, man. Yeah, you. He told me about Jesus. They were hiding in the woods when Joe Camilleri came to Building 29, Eastman Kodak, all them Christians as undercover agents, boom, 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 boom. And he said, I was just like you. And you know what he basically said? But now I can see. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Thank you. It's not natural. It's weird if you were born blind and you never told anyone. Lastly, verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Watch this. And they cast him out. Look at this now. This is wonderful. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, this is an incredible story. Don't try to put your type into this. It's not going to work. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, say the next word. It seems like when we get cast out, that's when the Lord shows up. Go to Psalm 27 and John 16. We want to be accepted by everybody but God. Man, when I read this through the first time, my mom had passed away, but my dad was not thrilled when I got saved. And this verse 10 of Psalm 27, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. John 16. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, and ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He gets his sight. He doesn't understand much. He said, this man named Jesus. They get grilling him a little bit more, and he's telling his testimony, and he said, he's a prophet. But then when he gets cast out, how about that? Jesus went looking for him. There is a level of communion and Christ-likeness you and I will never reach until we take our faith outside of these doors. And there is a level that you will never understand the communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God when they say, get away from me. We don't want you here. And all you have is him. We can learn a lot of things from a blind man, can't we? Go to Luke 6 and then we'll close up. Luke 6. Seems like when we get cast out, that's when the Lord shows up. And let me tell you, if you want to be accepted, you'd rather be accepted by God than man. Luke 6, 22. Then Jesus answering said to them, go your way. Tell John the things which we have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. And that's not the verse I wanted. Aha, because I'm in 7. Thank you, Eric, for helping me again. 22, blessed are ye. You didn't think I had a different version, did you? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. What? What? Is that the flagship of the modern church? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out. There it is. Your name is evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day. No, you don't have to do it on purpose. Just be what God wants you to be. You don't have to be an idiot. You don't have to be a facetious. You don't have to be mean. Just be what God wants you to be. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. If I would, I could. If I could, I would, I mean. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Have you received your sight? Are you saved today? This is as good a day as any. Well, I want to learn a little more. You don't go to the doctor. You go to the doctor when you're sick, not when you're well. Today would be a great day to receive your sight. If you have, let's at least do as much as a blind man did. Because it's not natural not to. Don't go to heaven without going public. Because it's as great as your reward. Let's stand. Father.